Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Slightly belated, smaller cast than normal, but this is our old school under the radar, but this is actually our Hoops HD report, correct?
Oh, this is old school under the radar. I would not be here.
Oh, really old school under the radar.
Really old school under the radar. I guess I suppose I should apologize for what happened yesterday and thank Chad for his legal services. We're a day late.
Yeah, we are a day late. Griggs is out of jail. He's only on parole, but he is out of jail. I'm Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. That's John Stalica. This is our Hoops HD report. We're going to be going over everything and anything that's going on. However, most of you are probably going to be watching this on Wednesday sometime. And we are recording this here on Tuesday night, so we are not going to be talking about the two incredible games going on in Maui because as we record this, the first game is out of halftime. Tennessee's up 1 point at half. The great game caught up between Kansas and Marquette hasn't even come close to tipping. Might be thinking about tipping by the time we start this. Sorry, we're not going to talk about those, but we can talk about every other game that's happened up through now.
We'll certainly talk about yesterday's games that tournament.
Monday's games. And we can preview the championship round games coming up on Wednesday, although it's going to be either Tennessee versus Kansas or Tennessee versus Marquette or Purdue. Yeah. But I don't know. I think we're failing this podcast already, aren't we?
We already are. Okay. We're off to our normal bad start. So,
Griggs, what conference do you want to start in?
I don't know. How about the Big East? Stalika's here. We'll do the Big East. There's some things to talk about there, including one of the teams that's playing tonight and that played last night, and that is just ridiculously good.
Here it is. If we do it right any second now, on the screen share should come our Big East standings and the past week's results in the Big East, including the Big Ten and the Big East ending up with a 4-4 split in the final Gavitt game. So, nothing was ever decided.
Right. And I guess they're not going to renew that or keep that going. The Big East also has a sort of scheduling agreement challenge, whatever you want to call it, with the Big 12.
That'll be something coming up next week, actually, a week and a half from now. Yeah.
Go ahead. We have about 30% of the top 10 right here in Connecticut, Creighton, and Marquette. But, I'm taking over host role for a second. Who has impressed you the most out of those three? And they've all been outstanding, I know, but who do you like the most?
If you're asking me who's been most impressive, and I hate to really say this, but I think UConn has been most impressive to me just because I thought they were taking this half a step, not a whole step, but a half a step back this year. The way they manhandled Indiana and then really dominated Texas on Monday night to win the Empire Classic. That game... that Texas-UConn game, I know it's a 10-point final. They were up about 20, 25 points, it felt like, most of that game. Texas made a late run. I know Texas was missing one of their top players. Still, for me at least, I don't know, Sleek, if there's somebody else you got, but for me, I thought UConn's been the most impressive team here.
Well, if you saw the Empire Classic, UConn should probably thank their lucky stars they didn't have to walk the tightrope against Louisville and potentially risk what could have been a catastrophic loss.
Losing a bye game, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really know about Creighton yet. They're going to be getting into their holiday tournament in Kansas City and, I guess, their Hall of Fame tip-off classic. Marquette will know more about in the next couple days. But if we're also talking kind of under the radar as far as Big East goes, watch what Butler does in the ESPN Events Invitational down in Orlando. They're going to be opening against Florida Atlantic, which has been surprisingly beatable. Butler's looked real good in their bye games at home, but didn't pass their first test against Michigan State, unfortunately.
For about 25 minutes, they were in there, and then the problem is it's a 40-minute game.
Yeah, and that was a Michigan State team that has not been playing well up until that game. It ended up being a 20-point final. So I have a feeling Butler's going to end up where we thought they would be. I think the biggest question mark in this conference still for me, Griggs, is this Villanova team. After the Penn loss, you just don't know. But they beat Maryland fairly easily.
Yeah, I want to pull someone up because I love the work. But so let's pull up Villanova.
Just for Sleek, we got Miami of Ohio on the right, but let's look at the left here.
It's supposed to say Mother Miami.
Yeah. And, you know, you can kind of see, and I realize that, like, the G&G, Joby, our our metrics guy is in Australia right now. I guess he got tired of winter or something and just wanted to go where it was summer. So the updates are a little slow in coming,
It's
but
like they're a couple days old right there in the J&G. The KenPom numbers are from this morning though that you see here.
yeah.
You
The
know, we don't,
RPI.
the BPI and the SOR are also current as of today. But you see
Right.
what they've got here. They've got Villanova's got the Texas Tech, then could be Carolina, then could be either Michigan or Memphis or Arkansas. Yeah, so we're
Yeah.
gonna find a lot, aren't we?
We are, and have we found out something already? And I've been beating the Kyle Neptune drum ever since last year. I thought that their, string of or lack of success last year was due more to injuries and circumstance than it was to Coach Neptune. I really thought that he would have a breakout year this year, and he still could. But this year, they just haven't shown out. I mean, the win against Maryland looked good at the time, but the problem is Maryland is terrible. We're going to get to them when we get to the Big East.
Yeah,
And they
look at
lost.
that. It's a quad four win right now.
Yeah, they quad
It
four.
doesn't even count.
And
Too early
losing
for those numbers.
to, yeah, losing to Penn just isn't good. I can understand the grumblings in Nova Nation right now.
Slick, real quick, what about your Musketeers? What about Xavier? I guess it was a long flight out there to when they played Washington because that kind of surprised me. I thought they would beat the Huskies.
Well, the expectation was they were going to go 1-1. We didn't think they were going to go this type of 1-1 right here, where they would play a 50-50 game against Washington and end up missing a bunch of free throws. It ended up costing them against the Huskies right here. It may have been a blessing in disguise because they got matched up against a St. Mary's team that will probably be better as the season goes, but clearly they have not figured themselves out this year. And Sean
Zay
Miller continues his hex against a Randy Bennett and the Gales.
could part of it be that Washington's a little better than we thought? I actually, not that I like taking up for Stalika's alma mater, I was kind of
Ooh,
impressed with how,
we just went to the wrong screen there.
yeah,
There we
we
go.
just went to the complete wrong screen.
There
I
we
was
go.
actually impressed with how Xavier played in that event overall. I was disappointed in St. Mary's. I was shocked with Washington. And I thought Xavier, I guess I just didn't have expectations for them this year, but Xavier hasn't looked terrible. Even against Purdue, they didn't look terrible.
But I think the big question about Xavier is just so many unknowns with one returning player of note and just about 10 newcomers that you're trying to mix together. And you throw in Lazar Jokovic, who didn't play the first two games because of, I believe it was a hand injury, and started getting some playing time in the Las Vegas tournament.
Yeah,
Yeah.
really interesting upcoming schedule. Xavier's at home for the next six consecutive games. A couple cupcakes in here, but you've also got, in addition to your Cincinnati game, you've got the huge game against Houston on December 1st. So
Yeah, I don't
we're gonna
think they'll
find
get
out.
that one, but
But
I
they are
mean,
is that it's a home game though, so you never
yeah.
know.
Yeah, this is not a game where Xavier can afford offensive slip-ups, to say the least.
And here's an upcoming schedule. We already mentioned what Marquette's got tonight, and most notably what they're going to have on Wednesday here in either the championship or the third place game. It's just crazy that between Marquette, Kansas, Tennessee, and Purdue, one of these teams is going to lose two game back-to-back games right now
Yeah.
at this point of the season, and they're going to be the two best losses anybody has in the nation. So.
Yeah, and I mean we've got a one versus two potential in Maui. But Marquette is another team that is just insanely good. They've already been tested. I thought that UCLA, just because of the contrast in styles and how UCLA likes to grind, that they would really give Marquette fits, and they did, but they figured out how to beat a team that they don't necessarily match up with wise in terms of tactics. And I was kind of more impressed by that than what a lot of people probably were. That was just a great basketball game, and it kept me up all night long. Luckily, they had a TV in jail.
There's the rest of the upcoming schedule that you can see there on the screen, including Seton Hall with USC and then either Oklahoma or Iowa in their event on Thursday and Friday. It's another team to look out for there. Pirates are 4-0, for what it's worth.
And we'll also get into this later in the show. Xavier better not overlook Brian on Friday. Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Pac-12 conference, though, because we were talking about Washington. Are they better than we think they are? Are they not better than we think they are? They did lose that game to San Diego State.
Yeah. But San Diego State is top 20 good. I don't think Washington's that good, but I think they're maybe top 50 good.
But when you talk about the Pac-12 here, the one note is Arizona here is probably the only team of the five. If you ask me who the five best teams in the nation are right now, I think four of them are playing in Maui tonight, and the fifth one is Arizona.
Yeah, fair.
So, and Arizona right now has the best win of anybody in the nation. Their win at Duke. I think that the co combination of back-to-back wins that somebody's going to get here in Maui might top Arizona, but. Griggs, what else about the Pac-12 in the past week? Is there anything that you've really seen good other than Arizona, being up a couple cupcakes?
Good. I would say, yeah, UCLA and how well they played against Marquette, and I think while they dined at the pastry cart before the Maui event, I really think they're going to be good this year. They're always good defensively. I don't know what it is about Mick Cronin coach teams, but they always seem to end up exceeding any and all preseason expectations. And I think we're going to see that from UCLA again. They get Gonzaga tomorrow. UCLA and Gonzaga have played each of the last 4 years, despite not
How about that
scheduling
for
each other.
a fifth place game in an event, UCLA
Yeah.
versus Gonzaga?
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this Maui field is.
Right. And that's going to end up, I think, being a really important game on both of those teams' resumes. The fact that it's a fifth place game, we harp on this all the time, doesn't mean anything to the committee. It doesn't get classified as that. It's the same as if they were playing in San Francisco somewhere. That's what I've seen that's good.
Well, let's talk about the bad with Stalika, and
Yes.
notably
Okay.
with Colorado breaks into the top
Oof.
25,
Oof.
and then they were mediocre
Hold them up.
against Richmond
Yeah.
yesterday, and then the championship of their event there today lose. That was close, but they lose to a Florida State team that we don't think is that good this year.
Well, clearly Colorado needs to be at altitude to be any good, it would appear right here. Now, granted, we've probably been had our heads a little poisoned because of what Florida State did last year, even though the Noles did finish the season a little bit stronger relative to where they began. Now, granted, this is a bit of an alarming sign for the Noles right here, where they currently are going to have a tier three loss as opposed to a tier three
Again,
win, which they
I would not give
yeah.
any credence to the tiers at this point. It's way too early for them to have any real meaning, Salika. But Florida State already has a loss to Florida, and Florida's also, and they got blown out by Florida. I don't think Florida's supposed to be anything crazy good this year.
Well, we're still thinking Florida's probably going to be at least in consideration around the cut line.
But if you're talking about a top 25 Colorado team that's projected to
Yeah, I
potentially
mean, they
win the
were ranked
Pac-12,
18th. Yeah.
that's not what I'm looking at here. And by the way, Mike Cha joining us. Mike, thanks for
Yeah, sorry for
jumping in
being a little
here.
bit late, but better late than never. Yep.
Yeah.
Mike, we were just talking about the good and the bad of the Pac-12. Anything? We talked a little bit about both UCLA and Colorado. Anything else that you've liked out of the Pac-12 so far,
Yeah, I was
especially
going
the
to
past
mention
week?
UCLA, even in defeat to
Yeah.
Marquette, it's not a bad loss, and they played Marquette tough, very close game. And if there's anything such as a good loss, I think that's it. You play one of the top teams on a neutral court, and you narrowly lose to them. So, but the thing is, it's early in the season, so we need to let the season go along to get some more data. But I like UCLA. I think they'll be there in the end.
I'm with you, Mike.
I think another team we really don't know too much about yet is this USC team. They've got Seton Hall
Yeah.
and either Oklahoma or Iowa this week, that same event that Seton Hall is in, and we mentioned earlier that this we could learn a lot about this USC team over Thursday and Friday as well.
Yeah, they lost to UC Irvine, and that's normally a really good sign if you lose early in the season to UC Irvine.
You got that. They got their bad loss out of the way,
You're
and
right,
here we
yeah.
go.
The Pac-12 After Dark special.
Yes.
Well, that
No,
game was too late.
yeah, teams that have lost to UC Irvine typically go on to have really good years.
We were talking a little about Florida State. That's a good segue to jump over to the ACC, though. And Mike, why don't I start off with you in the ACC here, where we're sitting with six teams that are undefeated at the top there, and we are also looking at five teams that in ratings like the SOR and the J&G are well into the triple digits, if not over 200. So I think you got some really good and some real crap in this ACC this year.
Yeah. But I do think in the end, the ACC is going to be pretty strong. They should have several teams dancing. But yeah, it's like when I look at it, it's either very good or pretty bad. I mean, it's. You know, it seems like it's very, very layered, very stratified.
Yeah, we saw Louisville actually outperform expectations, Griggs, with the way they played against Texas, needing a Max Asmus buzzer beater to beat them and actually holding their own against Indiana. But then you see teams like Virginia not even bother showing up against Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Virginia Wisconsin game, you have to preface this by saying, well, it was Virginia and Wisconsin, and it was going to be a
Jeez.
slug,
First one to 50 wins.
right, a slog in the first one, the 51. It was
But
going at 60.
when you play that type of basketball and you lose by 24, it's like you lost by 100.
It felt like it was unwatchable. Even I changed the channel on that one. So I think Virginia is going to be back. They're one of those teams that just sometimes every now and then they have an off night, but more often than not, they make other teams have off nights. I'm not that alarmed by it. It's just we've seen this from Virginia too many times to think that they're going to go away. Louisville was interesting because they have been better and they played really good against a legit Texas team, had a chance to beat them, and again were ahead of Indiana for a good portion of the game. Then it was the boneheaded comment at the end that, like, when Indiana started playing zone, they tricked us and we didn't know what to do. I appreciate honesty as much as anyone, but that is just not a good post-game comment by Coach Payne.
You don't, those are the things you do not say out loud, Coach Payton. You do not
Yeah.
say those.
Now, what I was going to say was Joby must have been really alarmed if he was going to run to the other side of the world after
Yeah,
that game.
Joby was so upset after the Virginia Wisconsin game that he went to Australia.
I'll tell you what, we did see Miami pick up wins over Georgia, Kansas State. This
Boy.
Miami team, though, Slika, this team is looking pretty darn good so far.
Well, Miami had two games to showcase themselves down in the Bahamas against Georgia and Kansas State. So the Canes looking like the class of the ACC right now. And to a lesser extent, Clemson also showed that their championship in Nashville wasn't a blip on the radar. They blew out a pretty decent Boise State team by about 20 at home.
A quick shout out also to Florida State with their overtime win today over Colorado. They have now won 14 consecutive overtime games. That is an NCAA record dating all the way back to January of 2018.
Man, that
Wild
is
little
some.
stat there. If you go
Okay,
overtime against
Stalika.
Florida State, you lose.
Did Stalika feed that to you?
Actually,
Did
that I read that from David Warlock off of
Oh, David
Twitter.
War.
So,
Okay, yeah. I was like, that's the kind of thing that Stalika knows.
Here is the upcoming schedule, including the games going on Wednesday and onwards here involving ACC teams. Lots of games with North Carolina involved in the battle for Atlantis. We've got big games. We've got Pitt involved in their event there. We've got NC State getting Vanderbilt and either BYU or Arizona State. Not that hard of an event, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we see here this ACC SEC matchup here on Tuesday, Miami and Kentucky, huge game coming up there. That's a week away still, honestly. And we're actually going to preview that next week's show because we're running a day late. So ignore
Right,
actually
yeah.
those last few games,
Yeah,
but they are
ignore the
around just
last
around
few.
the corner.
Pitt is a team that I think has potential that hasn't really been tested big yet, so I'm really looking forward to see what they look like in that event.
Okay.
I'm
Syracuse, by the
surprised
way.
I was going to say, I'm surprised Florida's net rankings in the 200s, even though they're, I mean, granted, they haven't really played
The
anybody, but
net, that's last year's net, isn't it? Or is
Florida
it the Nets
State?
won? The Nets won.
Florida State?
Yeah,
Oh,
there are
all
no
the
net,
Nets. Yeah,
there
the
are no
Nets.
nets out, there's no nets out yet, Mike. They are coming out in December 4th. So if you got a net on your screen there, it's got to be last year's net rating. They're
Oh,
not
wait
out
a minute. I
yet.
didn't read that because I do have the
Yeah.
2024 webpage that says that it hasn't changed since Monday, November 20th.
Yeah.
Updated
There you
games
go.
through March
Yeah.
12th. Okay.
But I will throw this out there. The one other, where was I? Oh yeah, tomorrow, the seventh place game in Maui, Syracuse versus Chaminade. Could this be a Chaminade
I really hope so. I'm more excited about this game than I am for pretty much any seventh place game ever played. I think Chaminade can do it.
It's not the
It's
Ralph Sampson upset, but you never know.
gonna be. Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Big 12 conference, though. Sleek, I'm going to start off with you in this one, especially because your team has this Houston team coming up in a few weeks here. But how about that? Nine teams without a loss still in this league. Great start by Big 12, including Kansas, who's going to be going up against Marquette later this evening.
Well, Houston's resume this week was basically the Charleston Classic. They had no problem against Towson. They were challenged a little bit against Utah in their semifinal on Friday before they eventually pulled away in the second half. And they also outclassed Dayton in the championship, even though that was somewhat of a road environment because the Flyers had sent like a huge fan contingent down to Charleston. So good practice for the Cougars and getting ready for the Big 12 later on.
Yeah, and Mike, probably the only disappointing team was a real disappointing team out of the Big 12 was Oklahoma State going 0-2 in their Ooh. Event. Close losses to the Bonnies and to Notre Dame by identical scores, nonetheless. A little strange there.
Yeah, Big 12 is going to be really strong. I mean, last year was really strong, and you add Houston in the mix and Cincinnati, that's just going to make a very good conference that much stronger. And I'd like to think Oklahoma State's better than what their ranking is now, but it's going to be tough for them.
I don't think they are.
I mean, they're better.
They've lost to Abilene Christian, St. Bonaventure, and probably the worst out of those three, Notre Dame.
Wow. Also disappointing news for West Virginia today. Raekwon Battle, his appeal was also denied by the NCAA. He will not be playing this season. There was a very strong statement by West Virginia that came out that said this was ridiculous, that his waiver to play this year was denied. But waiver denied, no. Appeal denied.
Now, I will segue right here because there was one waiver that actually did get granted, and that was Bandiago for Cincinnati. So it looks like he is going to be eligible to play for the Bearcats now.
Yeah, there have been a few recently that have been granted, believe it or not. So I was kind of surprised to see one denied. The last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot of grants coming in on these guys that are still not decided. And by the way, if you're a fan out there that's complaining why the NCAA has not yet decided a waiver for somebody, they have 45 days to rule these waivers, Griggs, if I'm correct. I blame the schools for not submitting these waiver applications on time.
Yeah, it's largely this is another show. A lot of people are really upset when they don't get the answer they want, and nobody likes to see a kid that can't play. But every year, the membership has the chance to relax the rules or change the rules, and every year they vote it down. So the staffers actually don't make the rules. And I don't know what the circumstances were that were mitigating as to why he wouldn't have to sit or would have to sit. I didn't see their waiver, but you need to get them filed really in August.
Yeah,
if you're talking basketball.
Here's the upcoming schedule. Lots of games on here. Oklahoma with that interesting event where they start with Iowa, then they could get Seton Hall at USC. Texas Tech is in, what is that? Is that the Battle for Atlantis Texas Tech is in? Yes, I think it is.
Yes.
Now
I do have to shout out to my friends. And I have to shout out to my friends in Cincinnati who have been touting a Power 5 opponent on Wednesday. The only problem is that opponent is called Georgia Tech.
Well, It's a weak opponent from a Power 5 conference.
Technically, it's a Power 5 team.
It's a Power 5 conference team. Let's not call it a power team.
let's keep things rolling right here over to the SEC. Stalik, let me start with you in the SEC. No?
Oh, okay.
Griggs, you want me to start? Griggs, I'll start with you in the SEC.
No, start with Stalik. I said Mississippi State. Look at them.
Look at Mississippi. Okay, Sleeka, what about Mississippi State? Big wins over Washington State, then nice win over Northwestern as well.
Were a couple games over in the Mohegan Sun, and Mississippi State looked like they were starting off a little slow against Northwestern and eventually end up pulling away in the second half. But I think the big surprise at 5-0 here has to be South Carolina, who, while they get a somewhat expected win against DePaul, I don't think we were expecting the Gamecocks to get a win against a Grand Canyon in what was essentially a road game.
Let's kind of talk about the other thing going on in the SEC, though. Mike, the Kentucky Wildcats, they needed overtime to beat a St. Joe's team that had just lost at home to Texas A&M Commerce. Is it time to start panicking in Calipari land?
Mm, Not really, but then they only lost by 5 to Kansas, on a neutral court. So that's an encouraging note. I mean, it's too early to hit the panic button, but I mean, if they suffer another crap loss, then yeah, maybe it's time to hit the panic button. But
Isn't
let's take
this
a look
sort
at their
of
upcoming
what?
schedule. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, isn't this sort of what Kentucky does in a given year? Even years where they're really good, they're not good in November. Like they might end the season going 100 miles an hour, and everybody kind of forgets that in November, all the way up until Christmas break, really they were going 40 or 50 miles an hour. We've frequently seen Kentucky struggle in early season games and
Right.
even lose them. I want to say that they lost to Gardner Webb 1 year. They nearly lost to Miami, and then Charlie Coles gave the greatest post-game press conference I've ever seen in my life. Google it on YouTube.
That loss to Evansville the year that they
Yeah, so this is just sort of what we see from exactly Evansville, and that was an extreme example. And to Mike's point, just the other night they did play very well against Kansas and had a chance to beat them. I think this is just more symptom or symptomatic of Kentucky being just who they are in November, very wildly inconsistent
Well, the
all the way
Greg's
up until
next
Christmas.
Tuesday's game will be key, the ACC SEC Challenge. They host Miami of Florida.
Griggs, let me ask you that. If we're not panicking on Kentucky, are we panicking on Arkansas with a home loss to UNC Greensboro?
A little bit. This is again a super talented Arkansas team that if Rocco was here, he would have more to say. I don't know if we're panicking, but that did certainly make you sit up and take notice. Like, what? How the hell did that happen? Greensboro, if you watch under the radar, a pretty good team. I don't want to crap on them, but I don't think anybody, if they're being honest with themselves, expected them to go into Arkansas against a team and a roster with that much potential NBA talent and beat them.
Chad, if you think Arkansas is panicking, you need to go one state up the Mississippi River and
I was
see what
ex
Missouri has done.
that's
Now,
exactly where I was
Missouri,
headed next, Sleeka, because the Missouri
they are
goes
sinking in the
needed
quicksand.
a miracle to pull out a game against a pretty lousy Minnesota team, albeit if
Very
it's a power
bad.
conference team, and then you go and you lose at home to an 0-5 Jackson State team, Stalika.
Well, they must have thought they were Texas Southern or something. I can't explain that one.
Well, I can. Missouri's not any good.
So there's here is that upcoming schedule. Tennessee Purdue, as we record this, we mentioned that, and then Tennessee's got the big game tomorrow against either Kansas or Marquette. But rest of these games, we've got A&M is in an event where they may end up matching up with the Florida Atlantic, which
Ooh, that's a good game.
may not be as quite as good. We'll get to Florida Atlantic here in a few minutes, but still could be a really good game on Friday if we do get that matchup.
But yeah, I Missouri and Oklahoma State, I'm kind of putting them in the same box right now.
And A&M actually on Sunday would be the final round of whichever. Is that the ESPN events one there? Slicky, you probably know that answer. I
I'm
think that's
sorry. I'm fo
ESPN.
I'm focused on this college football playoff spoiler between Alabama and Ohio State on Friday, even
That's
though
okay.
it's really the Emerald Coast Classic.
Alabama, Ohio State on Friday. There's one for you. Yeah, that's
Alabama
a.
is good. Wow.
So lots of good games here on tap over the course of the next week here in the SEC as well. And what are we left with? Oh, how about a little Big Ten action? Mike, you're the Big Ten guy. How about the Big Ten down to only three undefeated teams, and
And one of them is Nebraska.
one of them is Nebraska, another one is Purdue, who to remain undefeated is gonna have to hold on against Tennessee tonight and beat either Kansas or Marquette tomorrow. So it might
Michigan
be
could have
Penn
done their
State.
part on Friday, but they laid an egg against Long Beach at home. I was at that game, and it's like they played Matador defense, and they don't box out on a missed free throw. It's like,
That was a stunning result. And it came just hours, day well, days or hours after we got through praising Michigan for how well they had looked going into that game. So thanks a lot, guys.
yeah, only three undefeated teams. I mean, Purdue, I think Purdue is the favorite. Michigan State was supposed to be up there, but they've struggled, and they got a key game against Arizona tomorrow.
I believe that's actually
I mean,
Thursday. I think that's a
it's the
Thanksgiving Day
regular
game.
season. I like Purdue in the regular season. When it comes to March, okay, they'll fold their tents, but at least in the regular season, I like Purdue. They should be the favorites. Nebraska, I'm like, That's fool's gold.
Well, here's a question for, well, Mike and, well, all of you. Like, when you look at the Big Ten, the records aren't bad. I mean, you know, all but three teams have just one loss. But when you look at the quality of the wins, Nebraska hasn't beaten anybody, certainly. Penn State hasn't really either. Purdue has. But when you start to look at the quality of wins, they just haven't amassed them yet. Anybody outside of Purdue,
Yeah.
nobody really has.
Well, then you also look at a
Yeah.
team like Indiana, who's 4-1, but they've had to sweat bullets in a
They
couple of their
have,
games at home.
and yeah, I mean, how many
It
of
makes
those
you
wins?
wonder about the quality of the Big Ten. Maybe it's a down year for them as a whole.
Yeah, because if like 80% of your wins were at the pastry cart and they were home bye games, that's not building a resume. That's not doing anything.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, with with these events, Michigan getting started off with Memphis and then the Arkansas, Stanford, we got Iowa in an event with that we mentioned earlier with Oklahoma and then maybe USC.
Yeah.
We've got Wisconsin got a game against SMU coming up here in the championship of that event that they're in. We've got that Michigan State Arizona game on Thursday,
And
huge one
Whiskey did beat Virginia. Yeah, so.
That's a neutral court game there between Michigan State and Arizona. There's a lot, the Ohio State Alabama Friday, we already mentioned that. A lot coming up this week, where these Big Ten teams can maybe finally start proving themselves a little bit here.
Yeah.
Right. These non-conference games are so important because that shows your conference strength.
Yeah, and especially in a year we no longer have the ACC Big Ten Challenge, so you're this is the week
Right.
to do it. They're not going to get another really good non-conference chance, at least in an event or a scheduled event here. There's the rest of that schedule as well coming up in the Big Ten. Did I miss anything important here, Slika? Maybe can Nebraska keep going against Duquesne at home tomorrow night?
Well, that's actually going to be a little bit of an intrigue as far as Duquesne goes right here. Now, the Dukes have only had one loss themselves, but that's going to be
In the
the
game, they sort
probably
of
the
blew
t
it.
stiffest test that Nebraska has had so far, which is not saying much.
How about circling Western Illinois and Illinois? Western Illinois beats somebody every year, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's normally a Big Ten team.
Let's jump out to the West Coast Conference where we saw Gonzaga. We mentioned earlier they did suffer that loss to Purdue. They played decent against them. Bounced back, crushed Syracuse tonight. Interesting game tomorrow against UCLA. Anybody? Mike, how about you? Gonzaga.
I'm not going to go against Gonzaga. I mean, they may be in third right now in that rankings, but I think when all is said and done, it's Gonzaga and St. Mary's and basically everybody else.
Well, is
St.
it St.
Mary's.
Mary's? Here we go. Ninth place in the screen right now, dead last. Let me pull their team sheet up here,
Yeah,
Griggs.
like this St. Mary's team, and this is a team that we were. All of us, I think, were thinking they could get a protected seed. We were really big on them. I openly said that I thought they were ranked too low when they came in at only 23. Right now, I'm not sure they're even 123rd. And it isn't, they just haven't looked that good. Like they sweat out New Mexico, nothing against them, but New Mexico's very NIT-ish, probably. And then they beat whoever that was.
Come on, they crush status law state. You
Okay.
know, I mean, not everybody can crush status law
Santa
state.
Claus
Right.
State?
Santa Claus state, yeah.
Santa Claus.
When they lost at home to Weber, I think we were more excited for Weber than we were disappointed in St. Mary's. I think yeah, I even said that. And I know San Diego State is good, but they didn't even compete. It looked like a bye game. San Diego State just dump trucked them. And then Xavier, who, you know, we still have question marks. They weren't in that game either. So it isn't just that they're 2-3, it's that they've gotten blasted.
And it's not easy here. Davidson
Yeah.
is, you know, it's an A-10 team at least. Utah,
Utah's
Boise
good.
State.
I mean, yeah.
You've got a road trip to Colorado State. You've got a decent UNLV team. That's they. I don't know. They've got to win some of these games too because you're only going to get two chances in conference. And it's
Right.
February 3rd and March 2nd against Gonzaga. I don't know how
Yeah,
they
that's a
build
good
at this
point.
moment. I don't know how this team builds a non-conference resume. Builds a
It's
resume.
certainly not one to get a protected seed.
Yeah, you're
Yeah,
right
to get a
about that.
protected
Think
seed,
about it.
maybe not a resume to get a bid outside of the automatic bid.
Yeah.
And
I
I
mean, they've
noticed
looked
that
that bad.
there's two losses have been by double digits, the two Golden San Diego State and Xavier. It's not only losing, but losing bad.
Badly, badly, losing badly, and playing badly. One of the teams, let's look
I
at
should
Santa
retract my
Clara.
original statement here.
Yeah. Like Santa Clara, San Diego, it's one of the more crazy surprises, but Santa Clara, I don't want to get too carried away, but their wins have ranked somewhere between decent and mediocre. I mean, not exactly terrible.
The win at Stanford is good, but everything
Yeah.
else is they beat up on garbage here, Griggs, very frankly. And
Right.
they we'll find out. They got Oregon and then either Alabama or Ohio State this week in their event. Well, if they're for real, we're going to find out this weekend.
We will. We
They
will.
seem like a prototypical Mountain West team in that they always seem to find a way to schedule Stanford or Cal on the road and end up winning that game.
Well, they are in the Bay Area, so.
Gonzaga obviously is going to get that game now against UCLA tomorrow. That could be updated there. It's not quite updated on the screen. I think that's their only. Oh, they got Bakersfield coming up into next week as well.
Yeah.
How about a little? Did we do the Big Ten? Yes, we did. I
We
never crossed
did.
off
Yes,
the
we
list.
did.
How about the American? Let's
The
talk a little bit
American.
about this Florida Atlantic team, Griggs. And we see a lot of red here, a lot of losses out of this conference. But the keynote here is what happened to
It's basically Conference USA.
FAU at home on Saturday against Bryant. Wow.
This was one of the more surprising results of the entire year. It's right up there with, Jackson State's win. This just made absolutely no sense. But Bryant, even by Northeast Conference standards, our expectations for them were really low, and we're thinking Florida Atlantic is ranked accordingly. Like 10th is what they were. This was—I don't know what else to say. Like, I think because Florida Atlantic isn't a blue blood, even though they were a Final Four team, it didn't resonate the same way. Like, some of the really major upsets, even Weber State's over Purdue, but like Greensboro or Arkansas did. But was this a much bigger upset? Because Greensboro at least plays in a pretty good league, and we think we'll do pretty well in that league. Was
Well,
that
there
the
were
biggest surprise of the year so far? Bryant going to FAU and winning.
scattered losses by Florida Atlantic, but they never had a bedwetting at home like this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
that.
know. I was shocked. I'll just put it that way.
I'll also note here, SMU, a decent solid win over West Virginia, especially the way they won that game. Tulsa's undefeated. Memphis now into the top 25 in the coaches
Memphis,
poll there, at
very
least.
good Memphis team,
But
yeah.
I don't think this Memphis team has really been tested yet either.
Yeah.
They will
Well,
get tested again
yeah.
this week.
Oh, they won
Michigan,
at Missouri.
Arkansas, or Stanford.
Chad, I must correct you. They played against Missouri. They have not been tested.
Memphis is in the battle for Atlantis. They will be tested this week.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to learn a lot about this Memphis team. I'm not sure what else we're really looking forward to it as far as this week's schedule here. Where's that? Oh, FAU, obviously, in their event there, they start with, they've got what they got Butler there, and then possibly Penn State or Texas A&M. So those are the games to look forward to here in the American. How about a little Mountain West action here? Mike, we've got actually, you know what? We'll do a little quick little refresh here. We're going to give Utah State an extra win that they just picked up. If this works, this should add one in there. It is up to 5-1 now.
Yeah.
Fresh off a championship just moments ago, winning the Cayman Islands Classic Championship with a 30-point dominating win over Stephen F. Austin. But
Yeah. Our
Mike.
colleague Joby Fullerton on vacation in Australia, he and I were speaking. He said he just needed to get as physically far away from the Mountain West as he could. So.
Mike, when I look at this, unlike the American, I don't see a lot of red on this last week's results. I see a lot of wins this conference been taking, even if it's not over too many great teams, that the conference is picking up non-conference wins, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, granted, the caliber of wins haven't exactly been the best, but a win is a win, and that's a lot more than I can say for than other teams. So it's good for the Mountain West, good for the conference in general that they're picking up wins, even though it's not against the best of teams. But a win is a win.
Yeah, but crazy. You look at this. Wyoming has wins over Charleston and Furman this past week. Utah State over Akron. These are not name brand wins, but these are
Those are good. They
quality
are.
wins.
Yeah.
Utah State over Marshall in there. These are quality
Utah
wins.
State has been playing really well. This
They beat
was a
Stephen
team
F
that
by 30.
Yeah, they did in a pretty good SFA team that they really showed out in their event. And like we said it during the conference preview, the only thing that they returned from last season was the laundry. It's a completely new team. I just wasn't expecting them, but they have looked really good.
Now, if you want to talk about another unexpected result, look at what San Diego State did in the championship against Washington. They had to win a shootout. It wasn't a rock fight like the Aztecs usually win. They nearly gave up 100 and still ended up beating the Huskies.
Fresno State, they've got a game tonight against New Mexico State that is actually going on as we record this show. They could end up with a really interesting game against James Madison if they beat New Mexico State tonight in tomorrow's championship game of the Cancun Challenge. James Madison with a nice win. We'll get to JMU in
We'll
a
get to
moment here, although.
JMU, and we'll look at them closely when we get to them.
Colorado State. Very interesting this week as well. They got BC and then potentially Creighton on Thursday. If they have anything, hey, circle that Creighton game. Also circle Boise State's event here with Vatek or Iowa at Iowa State or VCU in there.
For
Wyoming
sure.
at Texas, Point Loma at San Diego State. We're going anywhere else here?
Yeah, this is a conference that's performed very well, and that's setting itself up for really good metrics and multiple bids. And Jovi can't take it. He just left and went to Australia.
We have one more conference to get to. Before we get there, we mentioned this. So why don't we go straight to this James Madison team? We are going to mention them really briefly here because they are in the top 25 of the AP poll, coming in at number 22 this
Pull up
week.
their team sheet, Chad, because
Let's do it that way.
there's yeah. Let's look at James Madison. And I don't want to take anything away from them. They are certainly richly deserving of the ranking and the attention they're getting. They won at Michigan State in overtime. They won at Kent State in overtime under incredible circumstances.
Double
They were
overtime. Double
behind,
overtime.
yeah. Behind double digits today against Southern Illinois, who, if you're wondering how good they're going to be in the Missouri Valley, the answer is probably not very.
Struggled with Radford.
Struggled with Radford, and you start to wonder, like, is this the 22nd best team? Are there other under the radar teams as good or better than them that just don't have the big brand name wins?
Well, and I'll throw this out there, Griggs, also,
The
when you
road win
look
in
at
Michigan State's what's carrying them right now.
Because if you look at the rest of their schedule, other than tomorrow's game against either Fresno or New Mexico State,
Oh, they should, yeah. They
but
should win
there
that
is
one.
nothing left on here that really stands out. You've got the Sun Belt play, you've got Keystone, Hampton, Coppin, Morgan State. The TBA is probably the most interesting game. That will be a home game against a Mid-American Conference team, probably the best team in the Mid-American Conference. They will set those matchups in January.
Yeah.
Please
So
tell me
that
that is the Keystone Cops they are playing.
Yeah.
it is the Keystone Cops they're playing. They even they
Well,
had so much
who?
time
What
filling
the
up filling out
that?
schedule here. That first game against Old Dominion is a non-conference game. They're going to play Old Dominion three times this year. I don't even understand that one, but
Wow. Well, yeah, I guess because they didn't. And Old Dominion,
Penn
not a bad team.
State.
Southern Miss, not a bad team. I mean, if you are they going to be favored in all those games, or could they be? I think they will. I don't think they're going to win all of them. But yeah, they could really blow out their record. And again, their schedule has been hard, and they've won all their games. But I don't. I just want to say that maybe we shouldn't be getting too carried away. This isn't this year's FAU, I don't think.
Fair enough.
Why are they playing Old Dominion three times, not instead of
They
two?
just it's a scheduling issue, and that first ODU game is considered a non-conference game.
I don't know the
Dan has
answer
that.
for sure, Mike, but sometimes, especially in the Sun Belt, where they have limitations on how many non-D1s you get, I don't think the Sun Belt allows for any.
I'm
They
thinking this
probably
may be an old
Well, they're playing
CAA
Waplume, though.
rivalry. Yeah.
JMU is playing Waplume. That's a non-Division One game.
Okay, whatever it is, but like it probably could. It's prob The most likely answer is that neither team could find a D1 opponent at the time and place they needed one, so they just agreed to play
Okay.
each
Let's go with our final conference here that we haven't hit yet. And Sleeka, let me start with you on this one. It's the Atlantic 10, still above the radar for now. May stay here. They picked up a few decent wins here. Duquesne not looking bad. Dayton got the win over St. John's. And how about those Revolutionaries from George Washington, undefeated?
Well, undefeated and relatively untested right here. Dayton, we were afraid was going to fall off the map after Malachi Smith got an injury. Thankfully, they were able to make a nice comeback against LSU and get what happened to be the first of two wins. When you also throw in the St. John's win down in Charleston, they took a shot at the moon against Houston and weren't able to connect. But unfortunately, we also have another injury issue to discuss, and that's a St. Louis now loses their top scorer, and their performance down in Myrtle Beach reflected that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Every time you start thinking some good things about this conference, you shake your head. Although, Richmond, I score way down here. They got the win yesterday against, or actually, was that today against
It's today.
UNLV? You look at, LaSalle was actually competitive with Duke for about a half of this game tonight, also. This was LaSalle's first loss tonight.
I
But
still like
I
the.
liked Duquesne, and the, even though they're down there, the Bonnies too, though. Go ahead, Griggs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do like this Duquesne team. I like them more than the rest of the conference, which I realize isn't the highest of bars. But I think that they could be sort of a fun and unique story. It's not that they don't have a tradition of winning the league, it's that they have a tradition of finishing near the bottom of it all the time for the last 30 years. They are good. They did lose to Princeton. They were right in that game. They had a chance to win it. Maybe they should have won it. But if there's anybody at all that I think has met the expectations of looking like an NCAA tournament caliber team, it's they're the only ones.
Yeah, if you look at the what else is coming up here, obviously we mentioned this Duquesne Nebraska game coming up tomorrow. That'd be really interesting. It's a really interesting test actually
Yeah,
for Duquesne.
it is. Yeah, and they should. If they're as good, if they're a tournament caliber team, they need to win that one.
As far as the rest of the schedule goes, notably a date. Well, I guess Davidson and St. Mary's. You mentioned that VCU. If there's anything there, the team is 3-1. They got to find a way to get at least one, maybe even two wins in this event, which is a not an easy event here with all these teams like Florida Atlantic and Butler and Penn State and the likes. Is that the last of our conferences? I think it
I believe
is.
it is. It
If
is.
that is, then let's go ahead and let's pull this down here and let's run to any other final thoughts. Sleek, I want to start with you. Any other final thoughts on what we've seen this past week and what's coming up ahead here with Thanksgiving?
Well, with Feast Week in full mode right here, we're starting to see some fields leak out, some of their fields as far as 2024 goes. You look at the Maui Invitational, and hopefully they actually return to Lahaina next year. They should have, let me take a look. They're going to have UConn, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Iowa State headlining their field. You look at the battle for Atlantis that's going to be next year. You're going to have Arizona, Gonzaga, Indiana, and Creighton in there. And here in Xavier Land, we just heard about the Fort Myers tip-off, which is going to include Virginia Tech, South Carolina, and also Mike's team in Michigan. So will we see you down in Fort Myers next year?
There you go. Mike, any other final thoughts?
I mean, it's early in the season, but it's never too early to have good basketball. Just like yesterday with UCLA and Marquette. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Arizona Michigan State game. I know Michigan State's been scuffling, but I give Tom Izzo the benefit of the doubt. I think, in due time he'll have it figured out. But I'm looking forward to the Arizona Michigan State game among many other matchups. I'm looking forward to, for sure. It's not just football for Thanksgiving. College basketball has its place too.
I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to. I got to get some sleep at some point tonight here. When we started this podcast an hour ago, we were at halftime of the Tennessee Purdue game. There's still 9 minutes left in the second half. I don't know what's going on in this game, other
There's
than
a
the
lot
fact
of
that it's
whistles, a lot of
moving at a
fouls. Yeah.
snail's pace here, and we got another game to go half hour after this one ends. So I'm looking at another. I didn't wait up till 4 a.m. yesterday for the SoCal games, but we're looking at another night like that tonight.
Well, maybe it is a true Final Four because commercial breaks are probably taking 4 to 5 minutes now.
But Griggs, why don't you finish off the show here?
Again, like this is such a crucial week of the season, and we're sort of firing blanks after this week. The cue ball will have broken the balls on the table apart, and the season will have taken a shape. It will continue to change shape as it plays out, but it will at least have one. This is when you really, I think that these events, because you see a lot of games on neutral floors where teams are challenged. It's just a great way to learn about teams. You don't really get that from home bye games. You certainly don't get it from home bye games. So it's to me, all these different events and all the brackets way up there are just really fun. If you do what we do with the podcast, the daily write-ups, this isn't something that most people realize, but I know we realize it. There is more basketball the first 3 weeks of November than there is during championship week. It's really not even close. In championship week, at least teams get eliminated as you go along.
Yeah, you don't get
True.
third place and fifth place and seventh place games in
Yeah,
championship week. On the other hand,
that's
we've
true.
got we are going to have a great fifth place game in Maui tomorrow. We're going to have a
Yeah.
great third place game that could be against two teams that next meet in the championship game at the end of the Final Four. So that's how
Yeah.
crazy this is.
And
And
as you guys know, that in the long run, they're not when you evaluate the games, they're not going to say, well, that was a seventh place game. They're going to look at
they
it as
will not. They will not. That's a very good point, Mike. And the other thing about November, there is no other week during a year where you have 11 a.m. tip-offs and games going on past three. There was 19 straight hours of basketball yesterday. That Cal game was not over until almost 4 in the morning.
about the only thing we're
I
missing
kind of missed
are
the 24-hour
bracketology
marathon. I don't know if they
updates
need to
from
do that.
Lunardi. Right, yeah.
Okay. On that note, we're all talking over each other, so I completely lost what anybody said. Let's get out of here. On behalf of David Griggs, Mike Cha, John Salica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We will be back Thursday morning for an Under the Radar show, so it should be posted probably early afternoon or late morning Thursday. And then next week, we'll be back to our normal Monday, Wednesday schedule. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.